everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the UCC argument when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs encompass the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's a foreign and alien ideology. Traditional American values were individual responsibility in place of Social Security and tithing in place of the income tax. Now these foreign and alien ideologies require of us that we violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant. And we're taught to covet our neighbor's property and then call that income redistribution. We steal from our neighbors with unjust weights and measures called Federal Reserve notes, and we practice idolatry by signing contracts with these foreign and alien gods called government. But we're not getting away with these crimes. Now we're paying about 75% of everything that we create and produce in taxes. We live in mortgaged houses owned by savings and loan companies. We drive cars owned by GMAC or Ford Motor Finance. The average family of four has a $70,000 consumer debt. We have a $7 trillion national debt. We're surety for another $44 trillion in unfunded government obligations. Our financial institutions are leveraged out to $60 trillion worldwide, and our Social Security retirement system is a chain letter Ponzi scheme. And we live from paycheck to paycheck, and then we call all of that prosperity. Well, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that system, or better way of life, in our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status and a better way of life, why don't you call and order my four-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. And you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're down to the last installment talking about maritime claims and remedies. Remember, our question this week was, could you do a story on credit card collections and disclosure statements? And then the rules as to third-party debt collection under administrative law and or maritime claims, and talk about the remedies, because there's a lot of talk about straw men, talk about debt elimination and so on, under Federal Reserve notes, and could you touch on the subject a bit? And that's what we've been discussing here this week, cause and effect relationship with this UCC argument and straw men. Well, now, the entire process is handled under what we call maritime law, or maritime claims. He asked the question, Steve asked the question, he says, well, could you touch on maritime? Well, yeah, I can do that. You see, the common law deals with due process and equal protection of the law based upon rights. Maritime law is the opposite to that. Maritime law is predicated upon contracts, not rights. Maritime law is an example, to give you an example of it, would be signing an enlistment contract with the military and bringing yourself under this foreign and alien jurisdiction called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's not that the Uniform Code of Military Justice is a bad law, or that it's un-American, or that it's unconstitutional. It's none of the above. It's a law, a legal system that regulates people in uniform, people that are bond servants, people that have agreed to indenture their lives for a term of years, 6 years, into the military. And they're not governed by the Fourth Amendment. They're governed by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And that's what happens in this guardian ward relationship when you sign a contract with MasterCard. It's just like joining the Army. And you bring yourself under administrative law. And there's no judge or jury involved. There's an administrator. In fact, the administrator is chosen by MasterCard. Listen to how this deal works. Let's suppose, and I got to tell you the story, because the other day I got an invitation from American Express. God bless them. They sent me an ad in the mail, and they said, well, wouldn't you like to have our American Express Gold Platinum Redeemium card that just buys you anything you want, and it's just the one most wonderful thing that God ever put breath into. And I read the terms and conditions of the contract, and I think I mentioned to you earlier that you'd have to be brain dead to sign that. I mean, if you were a street kid from PS 235 in New York City, I find it hard to believe that you could be dumb enough that you'd sign an American Express application for a credit card. I can't speak for all of them because I haven't read them all, but I did read the American Express agreement. And here's the way the game is played. There's a clause in the agreement that says that if you're dissatisfied or you have a complaint, you waive your right to sue MasterCard, even if they're guilty as hell. Even if they lie to you, cheat you, and defraud you, you agree that you will not sue them, but that you will submit to binding arbitration. And I had asked myself, well, binding arbitration by who? And they've got a clause in the contract that says binding arbitration by this company over here. And I thought, well, that's kind of peculiar. Binding arbitration, so I don't get any say-so into who the company is going to conduct this binding arbitration. And come to find out, the American Express people, big corporation that they are, create a little corporation called the ABC Arbitration Company. So when you sign up for the American Express card, you agree that any litigation that you might have will be waived by you. So your constitutional right to sue or be sued is being waived in favor of binding arbitration through the American Express Arbitration Company. Now you talk about the fox guarding the hen house. I mean, this fox owns the hen house, owns the farms, owns the chickens. I mean, you can't have a better fascist organization than that. And you want to sign up for something like that? And then you wonder why, you know, people are grasping at these UCC arguments, straw men straws. All right, so now that's what administrative law is all about. It just simply takes away from you your Bill of Rights and your right to face, confront, and cross-examine your accusers, your right to bring witnesses into court in your defense, your right to sue for a remedy. In other words, you're waiving your property and property rights for the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. You're not going to have any property rights with an American Express card. Now, I'm not telling you that American Express doesn't have a program, and maybe it's a neat program. Maybe it's a wonderful program. I don't know. I don't have their card, and I don't use their service. And I'm not running American Express down. If you've got an American Express card and you're happy with the service and you're happy with the interest rate and you're happy with the company, you know, stick with it. But if at some time in the future you were to become dissatisfied and said, well, because they did this to me and because I think I've got a claim against them, I'm going to sue them, you can forget that. You're not going to sue them. And if you filed suit in court, it would be dismissed. Because you've waived your rights. And then you can say, well, you know, I'm an American and I've got rights. No, you don't. You're a guardian ward relationship. You're a ward in a guardian ward relationship in which you've appointed American Express as your guardian. You allowed American Express to put one spider web around your wrist. And then you allow MasterCard to put a spider web around your wrist, and then you allow Social Security to put a spider web around your leg. And then one day you wake up and you got all these spider webs on you, and you write me a letter, Steve, and you say, is there any remedy for this? Yeah, Steve, there is. There's a remedy for that. The remedy is, first of all, don't invite any more spider webs around your wrists and your legs. Stop adding more contracts. That just adds to your problem. That's number one. Number two, you need to start removing the spider webs that you already have. You know, spider webs like marriage licenses and birth certificates and social security accounts and MasterCard and driver's license and, you know, just on and on it goes. There's a potential for 37 of these government contracts. I have never met anybody that had 37. But the government, the federal government, offers 37 contracts. And farmers belong to the PIC program, or they belong to land bank, or they belong to this or that program. And then businessmen, they belong to these various programs. Government and industry, government and business, especially big business, they have a program for everybody. And they've invited everybody in, and everybody has joined commerce. This is trade, commerce, business, and industry that affects the public interest, which is the exact opposite to private property. The Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not steal, is the basis of private property, and the abolition of all right to property, and the Communist Manifesto is the exact opposite to it. Now, commerce is communism. And somebody's going to write me a letter now and say, well, we had commerce before communism. Well, okay. So? Commerce in the Bible is called Canaanite trafficking. We've had Canaanite trafficking in commerce that goes back thousands of years. Just because our founding fathers adopted Canaanite trafficking didn't make it right, did it? Our founding fathers put in a clause in our Constitution called the Commerce Clause. You remember that? That doesn't make it right, doesn't make it good, doesn't make it holy, doesn't make it good for you. They put it in there for business. They were businessmen. 56 signers of our Declaration of Independence. 50 of them were Masons. 50 of them were businessmen. 50 of them wanted it in there. They put it in. I never said that the Constitution was a perfect document. It's just a hell of a lot better than the Communist Manifesto. So talking about remedies then, what kind of a remedy do you want? Most people would say, well, the remedy that I want to keep my credit cards, bank account, Social Security, and all my jobs and the things that I do today, but I don't want to pay income tax, I don't want to pay Social Security tax, I don't want to pay 18% interest on my credit cards and so on. I want all the benefits, but I don't want any of the liabilities. And boys and girls, I don't think that's possible. If it is, I don't know how to do it. You called the wrong guy here, Steve. I haven't got a clue as to how you can do that. I don't know how you can go to Flo's Whorehouse and not get AIDS, herpes, and VD. Not a clue. You mess with lot lizards and you get sick. I mean, that's the risk you run. So I would advise you as a young pilot to fly over the bridges and power lines. It's safer. It doesn't mean that if you fly under them, you know, crop dusters are a cavalier bunch. They fly under power lines and under bridges. But they're pretty experienced guys, and they know what they're doing, and they're not novices. They're not kids. But I think that, you know, the older you get, you know, you start adding this all up, and pretty soon you come to the conclusion, you know, maybe I'd be better off if I didn't do that. So, you know, I'm an old man now, full of years, and I say, you know, maybe you'd be better off if I didn't have those credit cards. Remember, we discussed this earlier. 112% is the average. You'll save 112% by getting rid of your credit cards. You can double your standard of living by just getting rid of the credit cards. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, how do you pay them off? Well, you ran up the debts. I guess if you destroyed the credit cards and you didn't charge anymore, and you doubled up on your payments, you could pay those off. And if you don't pay them off, well, that's not against the law either. You don't have to go bankrupt. There's a methodology outside of bankruptcy for eliminating debt. I won't get into that over the air, but you know it's a story that's of and by itself. And I never went bankrupt. And I never paid all the debts that I ran up. And I didn't go to jail. And I didn't go to debtor's prison. And I still owe the debts. They'll never forgive the debts. And I'm probably never going to pay them. And that's because I don't have any income. And if you eliminate income, you can eliminate most of your problems. Now, for most of you people out there, when I say eliminate your income, you see, you live by income. You have income from your job. You're an airline pilot, and you make income, and that's the way you live. And, okay, if you're going to have income, you have to pay the income tax. And if you're going to be an employee, you have to pay the Social Security tax, and that takes a third of everything you create. Well, that's a big handicap, you know that? By the time you take one-third of everything you create and produce and you throw that away and then live on two-thirds, and then you got 12 other taxes you got to pay off of that two-thirds, and then you got to pay all your bills and credit cards, and pretty soon it becomes a burden that you probably can't handle. And that's the objective behind all of this insurance, banking, credit cards. It is to bury you in commerce so deep that you can never get out, so that we can make you a perpetual credit debt serf, so that we can live off of you like a spider living off the juices of a fly that's trussed up in the web. He doesn't want to kill the fly. When the fly dies, he has to go find another victim. But as long as the fly is alive, he can come by and he can suck a little more juice out and a little more juice and a little more juice. But of course, as he keeps sucking the juice out, at some point in time, the fly is going to die. And now the victims here in America are about ready to die. The economy is about ready to implode. And so it would be good for you if you could get out from underneath this debt. And that's what this UCC argument and straw man is all about. It's a magic silver bullet that doesn't work to get you out of debt. Then they've got the debt counseling. This is where the banks and the credit card companies, they bring you into their counseling and credit card debt companies in order to discharge your debt. In other words, you can't pay your debt and you can't figure a way out of it. So the credit card company says, here, come over here to our credit card school and we'll teach you how to do that. Now, what they're going to do is put a couple of more strands around you, and they'll release a few strands over here on your right wrist, and then they'll tie you up with three or four more strands on your left wrist. Jesus made an observation one time in Matthew 6, verse 24. He says, you can't serve God and mammon. You know, you can't serve two masters. You'll hold to the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You got to make a break at some point in time. That's my conclusion. You have to make a break. And most of you cannot break away from the commercial system because you don't know how, and you don't know what to replace it with. So that's why I recommend that you send for and get my free CD package. That's the place to start. Take a look at it and see, do I really want to break away? For instance, I had an airline pilot in here one time. He used to fly for Northwest Orient. He was down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and came to school up here in tax school. And when he got through with the school, he said, let me see if I got this straight, Gordon. If I want to break away from the income tax, Social Security, and the commercial system, I've got to leave the airline and go out and make a living doing something else. And I said, yep, that's right. And he said to me, well, when I was 18, I graduated from high school and I went into college. When I graduated from college, I went into the Navy. And I became a Navy pilot, and I flew off of aircraft carriers. Then after I got out of the Navy, I went to work for Northwest Orient Airlines, and he says, I've got 20 years of seniority there. I make $130,000 a year. It's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I know. So he said, I'm going to go back, make peace with the IRS, pay what I owe, shut up, and keep flying airplanes. And, hey, listen, not a bad decision. This guy could not make the break. Psychologically, it was too great for him. He couldn't handle that. So he said, I'm going to go back, ride the back of the bus, and shut up. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Sit down, ride the back of the bus, and shut up, and everything will be fine. But you people here with this UCC straw man argument, you're not sitting on the back of the bus and shutting up. You're making a lot of noise and making a lot of waves. And then, of course, your government then has to come and shut you up, and so they're going to shut you up and put you in jail. That's the way that game is played. Now, there's a third alternative. God always had an alternative, and you can see that alternative in Leviticus chapter 26. He comes along and he says, now, about verse 40, I think it is, he says, now, if you guys ever wake up to reality and you admit that you have given me the finger and you wouldn't practice my law, he said, you know, I'll forgive you, and we'll go back and we'll play the game the way we outlined it at the beginning. And the game was outlined at the beginning at Mount Sinai. You know, our people said all that the Eternal has said we will do and be obedient. Now, boys and girls, we have not been following that law. We have not been following the Ten Commandments. We are not practicing the Mosaic Law, not in this country. And we're giving the finger to our God, and we're giving the finger to our government at the same time. Now, boys and girls, it just does not make sense to give the finger to both gods at the same time. Make peace with one side or the other. The airline pilot said, I'm going to go make peace with Baal. I'm going to go fly my airplanes and shut up. As far as I know, he lived his life happily ever after. Now, if you want to give the finger to the United States of America and Florida and Baal, well, then you better make peace with the God of Abraham, and you better get on board and get your act cleaned up over here so that you can do something more intelligent. Now, over here he says, over here at the end of our punishment, verse 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me. Now, you people have been walking contrary to the God of Israel. You're paying interest and usury on your mortgage, on your house. It's against the law. You know, you people are using Federal Reserve notes and checks and credit cards. Those are unjust weights and balances. That's against the law. And then you're complaining about your poverty and your enslavement. Well, you know, that's the design of credit cards, debt and usury, is slavery. The purpose is to enslave you. And so you have willingly become enslaved by signing the agreement. Nobody stuck a gun to your head and said, follow me, dig a ditch, and obey my orders. Nobody's doing that to you. You went down to the bank, and you said, I want to borrow money. And they said, fill out this form. Sign your name here. Give us a financial statement. You are a voluntary bondservant. You have bonded yourself to the banks, to the insurance companies, to the government, to your employer, to everybody around you. You're in trade, commerce, business, and industry, right up to your eyeballs. And then you're complaining about the results. This is what Steve's doing. He said, I'm not happy with my masters. I'm not happy with credit card collections, third-party debt collections. I'm not happy with maritime claims, and I want a remedy. And then I'm not sure that straw man is the remedy. Well, I already pointed that out. No, you're right about that, Steve. Straw man is not your remedy. That isn't going to solve your problem. Now, if you want a remedy, then you're going to have to take each one of these strands off of you. You can do that. Send your MasterCard back. Dissolve the contract. Write them a letter and say, take this card and shove it. Now you owe them $10,000. Well, write them a check and pay them. Oh, you don't have $10,000. Oh, you don't have the money to pay them. Okay. Well, now I have a business school. And if you call me and say, look, I'd like to enroll in your business school. Teach me business. You see, before you can make the $10,000 to pay these guys off, you got to get into something that's profitable, kids, something profitable. There's no money in employment. I tried it. I never did make any money working for the man. Now, the man made a lot of money employing me, and he paid me wages, and he made a lot of money off of me and a lot of other employees, and I was an employer, and I had 30 employees, and I made a lot of money off of my employees. I don't know of a single one of my employees that ever made any money. I imagine they all made a living, they all paid their rent, and they were all pretty happy guys. I paid my employees every Friday. Now, you need to get into something that's profitable, something that makes real wealth, something that is wealth-creating. A pension at United Airlines is not wealth-creating. me give you a little illustration. I watched Frontline last night, and they had a story on the pension scam. See? Now, all the pensions, all the big corporation pensions are being converted to 401ks. 401ks is where you manage your own pension program. Hell, you people can't manage your pension program. You people are incompetent. You can't even manage your own money. Boys and girls, people with checking accounts and credit cards are fiscally incompetent, as evidenced by the guardian ward relationship. Hell, if you people were competent and could handle your money, you wouldn't have credit cards. You wouldn't be paying somebody over here to send you a financial statement every month that says, here's how much money you owe now. You would have money in the form of gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, oil, land. You'd have real wealth, and you'd be managing it yourself. You know, boys and girls, I have some real wealth. I don't have anybody managing it. I manage it myself. I'm perfectly satisfied with the management of my wealth. I don't need any guardian to tell me how much money I should be paying this month on my minimum balance. Hell, I can add and subtract. I'm capable of doing it. I've got my capacity back. Now, I didn't always have capacity. I had credit cards, 28 of them. I couldn't manage my affairs. I was a ward of the credit card companies. Now, if I can regain my capacity, I don't see any reason why you can't regain yours. I resigned my commission in Social Security, and then I went out and I provided for my own life and lifestyle and livelihood without the Social Security guardian, and I've done quite well. I think you can learn to do the same. I don't know that. I don't know that. You may resign from Social Security and then fail. Did it ever occur to you? I mean, you could get rid of your credit cards and starve to death. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I just know that statistically, you're not happy with the program that you've got, and statistically, you're paying double what you would pay if you paid cash. In other words, if you went into the hardware store, as I mentioned to you last time, with $60 in your pocket, and you walked out of there with $60 worth of goods, you didn't run up any debt. But when you walk in with $60 in your pocket and you use your credit card to buy $72 worth of goods, you have now run up $72 worth of debt. You're $72 poorer than you were when you walked in the store. Now you got to pay 18% interest on the $72. And you just keep adding that up, and pretty soon it doubles your costs. It didn't cost you $72, it cost you $144 to buy those goods. That's what the bottom line is. So you're better off to tear up the credit card, cut that strand off of your wrist, and use just cash. And it takes some discipline, and it takes some education. It takes a little knowledge. We teach that in our business school here. I also teach a class or a school here on the Mosaic Law. There are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. You people don't know those laws. You couldn't put those laws into effect if your lives depended on it. You go to church every Sunday and you don't know any of the laws of God, and you can't put them into effect. You can't use them. Preachers don't teach the law of God. Preachers preach and teach the official government banking insurance party line, that you should have insurance, keep your money in the bank, pay your taxes, ride the back of the bus, and shut up. That's what preachers teach. That's their job. Those are government preachers, and they preach the government religion called humanism. And they teach communism, which is their bread and butter. Can't blame them for that. Preachers know what side of the bread their butter is on. Now, on the other hand, if you want to break away from that, then you've got to get capacity. You've got to do something to break these bands and get rid of them. Most of you don't even know what these bands are. You know, until I just told you, did you know that Social Security is one band, one strand around your wrist? that binds you to pay them 16% of everything that you create and produce upon the promise that when you get to be 65, they're going to write you a check every month. Have you ever done the arithmetic on Social Security? Do you know how much money you're paying into Social Security and how much money you're going to get back? Do you know how much the purchasing power is worth today and how much the purchasing power is going to be worth in 45 years when you retire, assuming that you're a young kid just out of college, 22 years old? Have you ever done the numbers? You know, I would venture a guess and say that 100% of you have never done the arithmetic, never done the numbers. You presumed that somebody who's real smart has already done that, and it obviously is real good for you. And so you have accepted their word. Well, they're liars. They're liars. And they're working for their advantage, not yours. And if you got a pen and paper, write this down real quickly here before we take our break, and I'll tell you what the numbers are. If you're enrolled in Social Security and you're paying in the maximum amount of tax every year, maximum amount, which is $79,000 a year, I think, right now, or right at that, about $80,000 a year, and you pay that $80,000 a year in every year until you're 65, you know, you're a dentist, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. For every $5 that you pay in, you will receive $1 back in benefits. Now, you know, you people that are paying in the maximum now, most of you are professional people, you're airline pilots. You're doctors, you're dentists, you're lawyers, you're professional people. You have letters and degrees after your name. Honest to God, do you need a guardian to take $5 from you and then give you back $1 because you can't manage your money? I mean, you know, it could well be that because you've been to college, you have been so incapacitated that you are, in fact, fiscally incapacitated to such a degree that you can't manage your money. And maybe that is a good deal for you, but it wasn't a good deal for me. I was paying in the maximum, and when I got to be 37, I learned how to count. You come to the Gordon Law School, we'll teach you how to count. Let's suppose you're a blue-collar worker. You know, you're a plumber, a carpenter, electrician, you know, skilled guy. You're making $16 an hour. Maybe you're making 20. And then you're making, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. You're firmly ensconced in what we call the middle class. All right. For every $3 that you pay in, you will receive $1 back. A little bit better than the professional guy who pays in $5 and gets back $1. You're going to pay in $3 and you're going to get $1 back. I'm rounding that off. It's actually $2.66 that you pay in, you get $1 back. It's not quite 3-to-1, but it's pushing that. All right? Now, here's the best deal you can make. You're a dumb Mexican from Mexico. You swam across the river. You don't even speak English. And you're picking lettuce in the Imperial Valley. Okay. For every dollar you pay in, you'll get 68 cents back. That's the best deal you can get in Social Security. Now, if an insurance company came to you and said, we are going to charge you 32 cents to administer this retirement program, the law wouldn't allow it. It is against the law. You can't have an annuity that pays you back less than you pay in. They have to give you back at least the dollar that you paid in any annuity in the United States of America. It's the law. I mean, that's what they require. Only Social Security can pay you back less than you pay in. Social Security isn't even as good as your 401k plan or your annuity with the insurance company. In fact, it is the worst retirement program ever conceived by the mind of man, Social Security. Well, it's a wonderful system for government. It's a wonderful system for business. But it's a bad system for the workers that produce all the wealth that goes into this program. And for you wealthy guys, for every $5 you pay in, you get a dollar back. You have to pay $4 to get back 20 cents. You got to pay a dollar in to get back 20 cents. Honest to God, I don't think you need to go to college to learn how to be that dumb. I find it hard to believe that you boys had to go to college to get that dumb. But, you know, that's the way that game is played, so now I told you the story. Hang on, let me give you your mid-course reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct. Remember, the number is 417-273-4967. Some years back, I had a student in here. He was a truck driver with Navajo Freight Company, making $26 an hour. Didn't pay his income tax, got into the tax protest movement. The IRS levied his paycheck, and they sent him a bill for $330,000, as I recall. $330,000. They levied his paycheck and sent him $75 a week. He came to school, and he said, "I've got this real problem. I can't support my family on $75 a week, and I can't afford to quit my job because I make $26 an hour." Now, this man's excuse was he was a truck driver. He hadn't been to college, and he didn't have a degree, so he didn't have any letters after his name. Now, you don't have to be real smart to figure this out, but take $330,000. Let's just do that. 330,000. Times 0.10, because that is the interest rate that this guy has to pay. 10% on the unpaid balance, $33,000 a year. $33,000 a year. So at the end of year one, he's in debt $330,000. So at the end of the first year, he now owes $33,000 more, $363,000 at the end of 12 months. Now, if you take $363,000 and then multiply that times 10%, see, this is the magic of compounding. Can you grasp, can you wrap your head around this problem? This guy can never pay this debt off. If he could pay $33,000 a year, just pay the interest, he would live the rest of his life with a $330,000 debt, wouldn't he? How much does this guy make? Well, it's $26 an hour. Let's give him the full 2,000 hours a year. He makes $52,000 a year. All right, let's take $33,000 from $52,000 that leaves him $19,000 a year. Okay. If he could live on the $19,000 a year forever and pay $33,000 a year in interest on the $330,000 debt, he could maintain the status quo. That is, for the rest of his life, he will owe $330,000, pay $33,000 a year interest on the $330,000 note, never reduce the principal, and live on $19,000 a year. But is that very reasonable? So I said to the guy, I said, well, if it was me, I would quit my job at Navajo Truck Company and I would go out and work for minimum wage, which at that time I think was $3.25 an hour. And now let's just take $3.25, 3.25 times 2,000. Let's see if that's not right. 3.25 times 2,000. That's $6,500 a year. If this guy could make $6,500 a year, tax-free, at minimum wage, he would be better off over the rest of his life than paying $33,000 a year in interest, owing $330,000 and living on $19,000. Now, he looked at me and he said, oh, but where else could I get a job that pays me $26 an hour? And boys and girls, honest to God, I'm not lying to you. That's the story. I mean, the poor guy couldn't do the arithmetic. He couldn't do the numbers. He, honest to God, believes he's making $26 an hour. He's not making $26 an hour. He's going into debt. And he's making 75 bucks a week. Here's what he's really making. 75 times 52. He's making $3,900 a year. That's what he's really making. And that's all he's ever going to make. Forever and ever and ever. Until he satisfies that debt. So that's why I say, you know, this guy, they got him locked in, and his mind, his intelligence has got him locked in. He's got strands. He's got so many strands around him, he can't move. I don't know what that guy ever did. I never heard from him again. He left here sad. I told him if it was me, I would quit and I would go into private business and I would start buying, selling, and trading. And boys and girls, I find it hard to believe that an average person who learns the common law, practices the Ten Commandments, and practices private business can't make $100,000 a year. I just find that hard to believe. I mean, even if you're not too bright, now that boy there, I think his IQ was above 100. But, you know, even people that have high IQs and score straight A's, I mean, they're real smart people. They go to college, and they have a 3.8 or a 3.9 grade average, and they're just real smart people. You know, like Albert Einstein, who couldn't tie his shoes and couldn't get a matching pair of socks and couldn't find his way home. I think Einstein was a real smart man. We've got autistic people who can play the piano, who can play Beethoven, who can do arithmetic, but they can't pay the power bill. They can't get a job. They can't make a living. Do you think that that's well balanced? Now, I'm an old man. I can pay my power bill. I can get a pair of matching socks out of the drawer. I can tie my own shoes. And I can make a living. And I can do it all at the same time. And I can do it without paying income tax and Social Security. I can do it without a Social Security card or a Social Security number, without a business license, without a driver's license. I mean, I'm a pretty talented boy. But then I learned how to count when I was age 37, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, Steve, and all the rest of you Steves out there. that the UCC argument and straw man is like going to a whorehouse for a cure to VD. It doesn't make any sense, and you're not going to find it there. It ain't going to happen. But there is a solution to VD. The best thing is don't get it in the first place. I mean, that's the logical thing. Stay the hell away from Flo's place. Stay the hell away from insurance policies and banks and Social Security and government. Stay as far away as you can get. That's the solution. Now, most of you people have already got all of these bands around you. See? You're already bound down. All right? So now we've got to unbind you. And we do that one at a time. And we've got to replace it with something, you know. You can't quit your job at the airline and then go practice buying, selling, and trading. The first thing you got to do is shut your mouth and work and produce and educate yourself and learn how to count. Then, once you learn how to count, then you say to yourself, now I need to extricate myself from all of these bindings that are upon me. And then you start taking those bindings off, and then you replace each one of those bindings with a common law rule, a common law methodology to take its place. The civil law in commerce, in reality, is just a counterfeit of the common law in property. So once you learn how to do that, and we can teach you how to do that here at the law school, that's what we're in business to do, is to teach you how to free yourself. But there's no magic silver bullet. It takes hard work, and it takes industriousness, and it takes a willingness to make some changes. Now, let me show you a little prophecy over here. Years ago when I first saw this, Matthew, Mark, let's take a look at Mark 10:30. In Mark chapter 10, verse 30, God makes you a promise, makes you a deal here. Listen to this deal. Here's the tender offer. He says, Peter began to say to the Messiah, he's talking to Jesus, and he says, Lo, we've left all, and we followed you. All right. Let's suppose that you left the airline and your $130,000 a year job, and you said, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to follow the Ten Commandments. I'm going to follow all of the laws, the statutes, and the judgments. You see, your problem, number one, is you don't even know what the laws, statutes, and judgments are, so you couldn't even do that if you wanted to. But let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion here, that you said, well, I'm going to learn all these laws. There's 133 laws. There's 759 statutes. I'm going to learn all these laws and all these statutes, and I'm going to do that. What would you get for that? What would God give you if you would do that? If you would leave Northwest Orient and your $130,000 a year, what would God replace it with? All right, now here's what he tells you. Jesus answered, and he said, truly I say to you, Pete, there is no man, no man, not even an airline pilot that leaves Northwest Orient, that has left his house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or his job for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. You got to underline with persecution. You're going to have some thorns on the rose bush, boys. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I read that years ago, and I said, Jesus, you know, if I could make the switch from Atlantis Manufacturing Company to the law of God and lose $10,000 in the process, God would owe me 100 times the liquidated damages. So I got on my famous Sharp EL1197G3 Texas Instruments calculator, and I multiplied to 10,000. And I came up to a number, and I said, $10,000 is my loss. And he said he'd give me 100 times that, so I multiplied that times 100. And I said, my God, he'd owe me $1 million. I could make $1 million. By making this shift, making this conversion. So I did. I made the conversion, and I was hoping against hope that I would lose $10,000 in the process, and do you know I never lost a quarter? I never lost a nickel. I never lost a penny. I was disappointed. I said, what the hell is this? I make the conversion and I don't lose any money. Well, that's because God's no dummy, and he's not paying out this 100-time penalty over here. I mean, there's a couple of cases in the Bible where he's going to pay out that 100-time penalty. John the Baptist is one of them. He's going to pay him 100 times. He didn't collect his 70 years. He didn't get all of his benefits. He's got a wrongful death claim against God. I'm sure that God will pay him off and pay him handsomely for his wrongful death. But I'm not going to get anything for it. I mean, I could die in the morning, come up in the judgment, and walk in, and God says, well, Gordon, what do you think I owe you? And I'd have to say, well, boss, you don't owe me anything. You paid me in spades long before I died. I didn't lose a quarter. I was disappointed. I was in hopes that I would lose $10,000, so you'd have to pay me 100 times, but I didn't lose anything. And boys and girls, I was making $1 million a year when I quit Atlantis. Well, I wasn't net, but I was selling $1 million a year, $100,000 a month, net and $100,000 a year. You know, I wasn't poor then, and I'm not poor now. I wasn't complaining then, and I'm not complaining now. But I was in hopes that I would lose something. So when God tells you, boys and girls, I'll pay you 100 times what you lose if you make the shift from Northwest Orient Airlines to practicing my law, and you lose $130,000 a year, I'll pay you 100 times that. And furthermore, I will pay you 100 times that before you die. You don't have to die and come up in the resurrection to collect these benefits. Boys and girls, read the statute again. He says, I will pay you in this time. Whatever you lose, houses, you lost your apartment business, you lost your wife, she divorced you and ran off with somebody else. He says, hell, I'll give you all that back 100 times over. But practice my law. You quit practicing the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property, and you replace that with thou shalt not steal, and you start practicing my property laws, and you get rid of those credit cards and Federal Reserve notes and mortgages and interest and usury and all the rest of the crap, and practice private property and property rights, and I'll give you 100 times what you lose. Boys and girls, I never lost anything, and I don't have a single student that I can point to that ever lost a quarter doing this. And I'm not an evangelist, and I didn't come here to tell you, you know, give your heart to Jesus today and practice the Ten Commandments. I don't care whether you do or not. No skin off my ass. But you know, Steve, you wrote me a letter, and you said, hey, listen to the letter again, boys and girls. He said, could you do a story on credit card collections, and disclosure statements, and rules as to third-party debt collection under administrative law and or maritime claims, and then talk about the remedies. And that's because there's a lot of straw man talk and debt elimination talk due to U.S. Fed notes. And could you touch on the subject a bit? Hell, I'll touch on it a whole bunch. Now, I've got 58 lessons in my business school and 133 lessons in my Mosaic Law School, and I can tell you what the penalty is for every broken law. Now, why don't you walk into your church next Sunday and say, hey, preacher, can you tell us what the penalties are for broken law? Can you tell us what the penalties are for witchcraft? Can you tell us what the penalties are for usury, adultery, or idolatry? I think that preacher will look at you like you're stupid. First of all, they don't teach those laws to start with, much less the penalties. And I'm here to tell you, Steve, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And the penalties that you people are paying over here are income tax and Social Security, which takes one-third of everything you create and produce. Then when you add up all the rest of the taxes, the hidden taxes, and the costs and dues and et cetera that you pay, it's 75%. Well, 74% of everything you create and produce, and that's assuming that you're an average Joe Sixpack American. That leaves you with 26%. Hell, you're back here with the guy driving truck for Navajo Freight Lines making $26 an hour, but they got you bound down, and they're taking 74 cents. They pay you a dollar and take 74, leave you with 26 cents, and say, aren't we great? Let me teach you how to count, Steve. You come here to school, let me teach you how to count. Social Security. I've mentioned this to you already. I said, you know, can you count? You airline pilots, you're paying into Social Security the maximum amount, $79,000 a year. For every $5 you pay in, they'll give you $1 back. Honest to God, do you need that kind of a guardian? Because if you do, you should stay at the airline. My God, whatever you do, don't quit. You'll never make it out here in the real world. I mean, if you're so incompetent that you can't manage $5 and hang on to that $5 until you get to be 65 years old, do you know how much money you're going to pay in at the rate of $80,000 a year? Try it. Here's $80,000. I just plugged it in. Times, and how long are you going to work? 40 years for the airline? Do you know how much money that is? It's $3,200,000. I mean, listen, you doctors, you dentists, you professional people, if you're paying in the maximum right now, for the next 40 years, you're going to pay in $3.2 million. What's Social Security going to give you back? $1,200 a month. 1,200 times 120 months is $144,000. Well, now, you might be a lucky guy. Instead of dying at the average of age 75, you won't die at age 75. Maybe you'll live to be 85. Jesus, you'll collect $288,000. You collect a quarter of $1 million out of 3.2? Out of 3? In other words, you're going to collect the $200,000 and they're going to collect $3 million. Honest to God, and you're a professional? With a degree? You've been to college? God, you know, some of this makes me want to puke. Steve, let me teach you how to count. You know, maybe you've been to public school, and I went to public school. My God, I'm still recovering from public school. I don't deny it. But I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, you can recover from public school, and you can recover from college. It can be done. You can recover from Catholicism and religion. You can recover from all of that, but you got to get your head on straight, and you got to start thinking for yourself. And one of the things that you do to start thinking for yourself is to start practicing a system of law that makes sense. And the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, boys and girls, do not make sense, but the 10 commandments do make sense. And thou shalt not steal is the basis for property and property rights. And the abolition of all right to property is the exact opposite to that. So the Communist Manifesto is the exact opposite to property and wealth. So if you want property and wealth, you practice the Ten Commandments. If you want poverty and debt, you practice the Communist Manifesto. It's a choice for you to make. I hope you make a good choice. All right, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there and tell you that you're listening to or have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week, remember, here on the radio and on the Internet worldwide, every day, 7 days a week. For more information, why don't you go to our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Just go to the webpage and take a look at our webpage, and we'll tell you all we can. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.